Okay. Welcome. It's good to gather together in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. A number of announcements that I just wanted to make mention of. Offering boxes are out in the entranceway for your tithes and your offerings, and we really appreciate all the support of our congregation. Also, Sharon Zeil and Dorothy Suter. Dorothy's like 95, and her daughter Sharon kind of takes care of her and tends to her needs. Sharon had an accident, fell, and broke her ankle in two places and isn't allowed to put any weight on it. And so we've been in contact with her. She had some family come in for a couple of weeks. And what she's in need of is 2 days a week, we wanted to give them a hot meal. And so there's a sign-up sheet on the Welcome Center. And what we're asking is, we've picked Tuesdays and Thursdays for the next several weeks. If you sign up for one of those, what you're agreeing to basically is to take a hot meal to them. We don't care whether you cook it yourself, whether you go to Bob Evans or someplace else. I know if I was going to donate a meal, it would probably be from Bob Evans, but you can pick your restaurant or your own kitchen. There's a number of things. There's a little information sheet there as well on some of their dietary restrictions so that we can accommodate that as well. But if you're interested, please sign up. And if you've got questions, you can get in touch with myself or Mabel. Kirshner is kind of working with Dorothy and Sharon. And so I wanted to make you aware of that and to keep that in mind. Just remember those who continue to fight the flus coming back as well as COVID. And so keep those as a matter of prayer in an ongoing fashion. This has been a very difficult weekend for my family. On Friday evening, Lynn's father's house caught on fire, and pretty much burned to the ground. It's a total loss. And so, Lynn is at my house. I'm every faux pas in the world. Is at home here in Worcester with Lynn and I, and Lynn's with him this morning. They really haven't had a chance to stop since this occurred on Friday. And so I would ask that you keep them in prayer. He's probably going to be living with us at least for a short time and maybe from now on. And there's just, a lot that's coming. And so would appreciate your prayers in an ongoing fashion just with the, that's the place that Lynn grew up. Just a lot connected there with the memories and all of that. We're going to stop there because I don't think I can go any farther. Okay. The rest of the announcements are there in your bulletins. We've got some things that are planned. We are thinking about doing a new directory here at the church. There'll be more information coming out with that. What we do there's some clapping. What we do for our director, we don't have a professional company come in and do it. We basically have a digital camera, and we take pictures of families, and, your picture's going to be this big. In the directory, and we take a little digital photograph, and we're able to put that in with names, addresses, and phone numbers so that we can begin the process of learning each other's names and getting faces and names put together with some of our new folks and kind of helping all of that occur. There'll be some announcements in the bulletin and some further information as we go forward, but just kind of wanted to mention that this morning. We're excited about that as we continue to move forward. Any announcements that I may have missed this morning, which is highly possible? Well, let's spend a little bit of time in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are a great and gracious God, a God that comes and meets us where we are, give us hope and courage and strength to face the challenges of each day. And Lord, all of our families here have had ups and downs, and the COVID virus and the various things that come our way. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God that's there day in and day out. That you just don't show up on Sunday and hide for the rest of the week. That you come and you want to be part of who we are on an ongoing fashion. And Lord, we welcome you. And we ask that you would be with Sharon and with Dorothy. And Lord, so many concerns there. And we just ask, God, that you would heal the body and give strength to the soul. And walk with us as a congregation that we might support them. And at the same time, Lord, that we just might encourage and build one another up. Just come and be in our midst. And Lord, just pray for my family. And Lord, the loss and the memories and everything that's involved, we just ask that you would wrap your arms of love around us. And Lord, help us to understand the things that are most important, one another, relationships. Lord, that those are solid and those haven't been touched. There was no harm. There was no injury. There was just a fire and a loss. And Lord, just we give you praise and glory that no one was injured. And Lord, now for the cleanup and everything that's involved, there's so much we don't even know. But we know this. You are a God that comes and stands close to us and gives us hope. And we count on that. And we just ask, Lord, that you would walk with us as a congregation, that, Lord, we might be able to communicate to the world in which we live the difference that you've made. For you truly are a great and gracious God. Continue to work and walk with each and every one of us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A couple of songs. First one, Oh How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to tell. I love to sing his words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though they tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Feel it? Now join us in singing The Love of God.
is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains fall, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels sing. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
You may be seated.
Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 15. Remember, in Jesus' ministry, his message and him, he was not embraced by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, those who should have known. And we see, starting in chapter 1, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them?" Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the fold, the 99 in the open country, and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there's going to be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice, I found my lost coin." I tell you, in the same way, there's going to be rejoicing in the presence of the angels and of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons.
Reason that we stopped and didn't read the rest of that account, but I'm going to hold you in limbo until we get there. At this time, if the kids want to come on down front this morning, now, this morning, I'm not going to kneel down on the ground because after yesterday, I'm not sure I could get back up. And so we're just not going to go there this morning. Now, I have a question. Have you ever run in a race? Yeah, you have? How far was it? Do you remember? From here to there and back? No. Farther than that? Oh, wow, that's awesome. How far? Wow, that's like 100 yards long. That's huge. Yeah. You have a small house. That's okay. A 1 mile? All in one shot? Woo. I used to run a little bit myself, and it was always fun to run in a race. And I have a question for you. Now, when I ran in the race, I got a little medal about this big around that I got to wear around my neck because I finished the race. I made it the whole way to the end. Now, if I told you that that race was a marathon and it was 26 miles long, everyone would be impressed that I was able to run that far. It wasn't. If it was a mile like your race was, and that I had finished that without stopping, people would be impressed. It wasn't. It was only about 100 yards long, and it seemed like an eternity for me to get there, but I made it, and I got a medal for finishing the race. I didn't come in first. I didn't come in second. I didn't come in third. I didn't come in. Let's just say I was at the end. But I finished the race. And that's what's most important. Now, there is awards for those who come in first, and that's a wonderful thing. But finishing the race, setting out to accomplish something, and then doing it is what's really important. And we need to remember that. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philippians, he said, he goes on to finish the race. And he's talking about his time with Jesus and our life here on this earth. And when he means his goal is to finish the race, it means that he's going to have a relationship with God for the rest of his life. And he's going to finish that race. He may not be the first one finished, but he's going to finish and finish that race with Jesus in his heart. I want us to remember that it's important to have Jesus in our hearts as we live upon this earth. Because sometimes difficult things happen, like my father-in-law's house burning down. But there's also good things that happen. I got to go to Kenya and talk to the pastors there. Life is full of ups and downs, but God says what's important is finishing this race, finishing this life with Jesus in our hearts. Let's bow our heads and thank God. Heavenly Father, we're not looking for a participation award. We just want to finish the race well with you in our hearts, that we might spend eternity with you. Help us to live each and every day. Help us to understand your love. And Lord, just walk with you. In all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Janie, oh, okay.
Good morning. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. To rise in you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, Janie. So Pastor Arnie doesn't wipe out. You know, this morning, wow, Janie, that I really appreciate that song. want to talk about what really matters to God. And I know this past weekend, I got a crash course in what really matters to God. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the things. It's about relationships, and especially my relationship with the God that loves us just so much. The songs that John picked for this morning just feed right in, because that's what matters to God. And what I see in these scriptures that we read this morning is there's two kinds of people that God really searches for. And I want to talk about these two kinds of people and then kind of fill in some blanks at the end. But let's just jump right in, because the first category of people, I don't have my clicker. Can you go to the next slide? Thanks. See, God is searching for, well, what he calls the fully committed. Now, I'm going to do something that is a little bit out of order, and just walk with me a little bit. If you want to, if you have your Bibles, if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I'm not going to necessarily read, but I'm going to recount what happens there. There was a king of Israel. His name was Asa. He was a good king. And he became king, and kind of one of those things, a new king and all of this. He's trying to do everything just right. And the enemy comes up and marches against him, and he's going, I don't really know what I'm doing, but God is a big God, and God will take care of us. And so he does what he can do in order to pull his men together, and they march out to meet the opposing force. And he basically says to God, God, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know this, you do. So we as your people are your instruments. May we win the battle. And they charge into battle and rout the enemy. And this happens again and again. And one time he's vastly outnumbered, and he walks into battle knowing there is no way that logically, statistically, he's got a snowball's chance in heat wave of winning. And yet he goes to God and he says, it's not about us, it's all about you. So Lord, whatever your desires are, may that happen. Use us as your vehicles. And he marches out against the enemy and routs them. Over and over, this happens in King Asa's life, to the point where the neighboring countries won't go to battle against them because they know they're not going to win. Time passes. And as time passes, Asa gets a little more comfortable being king, and he's kind of putting his hands in his pockets and being king and doing king stuff, and he starts relying on being king, and things are going well. Syria comes over and says, basically, we're going to attack. And so the king goes, you know what? I don't want to go out and fight against that army. So he actually pays another king to attack that army that's coming out to go against him, so that this other place would take the loss and Asa wouldn't have to go out and fight. The problem is, God wants and searches for the fully committed. Asa does this, and God sends a prophet in the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and said, because you have put your trust in the king of Syria instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance. He's basically saying, God has protected you, won all your battles for all this time, and an opportunity to be fully committed to God has risen up, and you ran away with your tail between your legs. God saw that, and now Israel's going to be defeated. God knew the predicament that Asa was in, and Asa had a chance to display his commitment before God, before his country, before the world. Asa, what a fool you have been. See, God's in an all-out search for two kinds of people. The first kind is the fully committed, and the second, if you would go to the next slide, please. The second kind of people that God is searching for is the kind of people who were lost. You see, it talks about the fully committed people. And if we go back to Luke 15, he gives us actually three illustrations. We're going to talk about the first two of them this week. He talks about a shepherd. Now, you got to understand the situation that is going on here. The Pharisees are there, and they're kind of doing their thing, and things just aren't going well. And Jesus says, I got an idea. I'm going to tell them a story. And so Jesus begins to tell them about a shepherd. Now, you have to understand, if you're a Pharisee, you're a teacher and a studier of the law, of Scripture. You would be like a pastor of the day. And pastors of the day did not do shepherd's work. Matter of fact, just the thought of doing that would make them a little queasy. The thought of having to be out there with the animals, they would be unclean. They would be unfit to stand before God, and so not going to happen. So Jesus says there was a shepherd out with his sheep. Okay, already they're uncomfortable with the story. And then Jesus says he has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost. Well, you don't lose sheep when you're a shepherd. And not only that, a person from the Middle East, a person from Israel in these days would never say, I lost a sheep. They would say the sheep wandered off. Because if I lost a sheep, whose fault is that? Mine! If a sheep wandered off, whose fault is that? The dumb sheep! Doesn't that sound like our modern world? I didn't do anything wrong. It's not me. Somebody else. I didn't pull the trigger on the gun. The gun just went off. Must be a manufacturer's problem. I mean, we want to be the victim. And that was so prevalent in society. So Jesus is telling the story, and he doesn't say, and the sheep wandered off. He said the shepherd lost the sheep. Instantly, all of the Pharisees would have been probably throwing up behind a rock someplace from all of the discord that Jesus is bringing up in this situation. And then he finishes with the sheep, and he buzzes right on to the next story. It seems to me that it's seamless. He may have paused for a moment just for, let that settle in. Now, I want to tell you another story. There was a woman who lost a coin. Now, coins in culture in these days were very rare. Most everything was done by the barter system. But they did have coins. And we don't know how many she had. We only know that she lost one. And she went around the house trying to find that lost coin. She does everything that she can possibly think of to find the lost coin. The Pharisees would have just shook their head. Just a little coin. I mean, it was probably like about that big around. Looks a lot like a penny today. Worth a little bit more than that, but not much. And she's searching to find this little coin. Get over yourself. But she had 10. She lost one. Gotta find it. Gotta find it. All this effort, not hardly worth it. Not hardly worth it. Jesus is reducing the proportions, and we know if you go on and read the next story in Luke chapter 15, it's about a father whose son goes off. We'll talk about that next week. But three stories, and in each of these stories, it's about something that was lost. If you want to go to the next slide, please. You see, in all of the stories, something was lost. The first story was a sheep. The second story was a coin. The third story was a son. And one of the things that is so important is Jesus is trying to tell them that that which is lost, we need to be doing everything humanly possible to help that thing be found. In so many words, he's telling us today in the modern church, as well as the Pharisees back then, that that which is lost is of highest priority. In order to find that which is lost, you set those things that are found off to the side so that you can focus on the lost. For us in the modern world, we are to be focusing on sharing the gospel with those that do not know Jesus. That is to be of highest priority, especially if we are part of the fully committed people unto God. Those that have stepped up to the plate, those that have said, God, here I am, I want to be used by you. Those are the ones that should be fully committed to sharing with the lost. Each story, something was lost. Go to the next slide, please. See, also in this story is what really matters is the hero. What really matters is the person going out. The hero is the shepherd that goes out and finds the lost sheep. It's the woman. You know, in those days, ladies, I'm sorry to say, maybe I should apologize to all the women of the world, but in those days, if you were a woman, you were pretty much property. I don't agree with that. I don't think that it's biblical, but the reality was in those days, that's how it was. And to have a woman who was searching for the lost coin, the Pharisees would never have related to that. They would have pushed that aside as such. This doesn't count. But the hero was the shepherd who nobody wanted to be. It was a woman who no one wanted to be. And they are the heroes. They're the ones that are doing what God is wanting fully committed followers of him to do. Even in the third account where it's the lost son, the son goes off and wastes his inheritance, but he comes home. And when he comes home, what the dad does is just totally unheard of. He hikes up his robe and shows his ankles. But in that day, if you were a man, you didn't show your ankles. You just didn't do that. You kept your robe long so your ankles would never show. That's just unheard of. And to hike your robe up so you could run to go meet a wayward son? No. You stand in the yard and wait for him to arrive. But in this situation, he hiked up his robe. He takes booking across the landscape. All of the servants would have seen him. But he runs out because his son came home. That which was lost was found. Each situation, not somebody that a Pharisee would want to be. And Jesus is saying, in each situation, here is the person who's doing the right thing. Go to the next slide. In each of the stories, when what was lost was found, the hero is so happy, he or she throws a party. I like this part. I like the party. You know, I think sometimes in the modern church, sometimes we lose account. We kind of, our kids grow up and maybe they go to church camp, and maybe at church camp they make a commitment to Christ, or maybe it's at home, but wherever it happens to be, sometimes I think we don't party enough. I think as Christians, we should be the ones that are the party animals. And I think we've lost that, because I think we have allowed culture to take hold of us, and we don't even like to use words like party. We gather. We have fellowship. Now, those things are good. I'm not throwing them under the bus. We have a fellowship for 45 minutes before the service up in the fellowship hall. We have great donuts and coffee. And it's just a great time to be together. I really enjoy that. But I mean, to really party, we should be the ones that are leading the way. Here's how you party. Here's how you get together. Here's how you're filled with joy, because we have those who are lost that are now coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They went from burning in hell to living on the streets of gold. We should party like it's the Super Bowl. Gotta have Doritos. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to really celebrate all of those things? Of those that were lost and now are found? Are we willing to party over the things that really matter? The things that are really important? Do we know that kind of joy? If you would throw the last slide up. In each of the stories, the hero is someone who we wouldn't really be admired by the religious leaders. A shepherd, a woman, a father. Put all of those things together and you have Jesus standing in front of a group of long-standing religious types who think they figured out what really matters to God. And they're so wrong. And I think sometimes it is hard even for pastors today to keep their feet on the ground and to get to what really matters to God. We seem to know what really matters to people, and sometimes we are in danger of becoming people pleasers rather than God pleasers. We're not putting the emphasis on the things that are most important. Church directories are wonderful, and we want to do that to get to know each other and to promote that fellowship so that we can truly party and know one another. And those things are important, but sometimes we spend all our time on those things and we miss sharing the gospel with people that don't know Him. And we need to make sure that we're not missing out on that, that we're not dropping the ball when it comes to those who don't know Jesus. And sometimes it's easy, because sometimes it's just a matter of, and we've talked about it previously, sometimes if we are who God wants us to be and we're following Jesus, then those opportunities will come up. We don't have to work at it. I don't have to work at standing in line going, okay, God, give me something about Jesus to say to this poor mom. I don't have to do those things. All I can do is just let Jesus be in my heart. And with Jesus in my heart, I love kids. And so it's like, you have a cute little girl. You have a cute little boy. Just make sure you get it right. Sometimes it can be a challenge. But to compliment someone and to share a little bit of joy. And sometimes it means reaching in your wallet and giving them $3 for that rotten little toy that the kid wants. Why can't kids be spoiled by an uncle that they don't know they have and they may never see again? What's the difference? And I always ask mom or dad, hey, is it okay? I'd like to get that for them. They look at you pretty weird, but most of the time, they give it to the kid. I've never been turned down. But it's amazing, and they look at you and they're going, is there a reason? I said, you have a great kid. I love the kids that stand in line and like do what their mom and dad want. They're fun. But are we willing to just share a little bit, just to reach out, to make somebody's day, to share a little bit of joy? I get asked sometimes, why are you so happy? And I just tell people the truth. I've got lots to live for. Really? I got a God that loves me, a wife that puts up with me, and children that haven't made me completely poor yet. How can it get any better? And every time they focus in on the first one, God that loves you. I sure do. And you know what the neat thing is? They'll go as far as they're ready to go. And when they quit asking questions, I quit giving them information because they've got what they need or what they want. You see, if we're just willing to live Jesus in our hearts, the world will tell us what they need and how much. Because we never know how much the kind word makes a difference tomorrow, next week, next month. We never know those things. We only know that we are to be in connection with our God, that because of the change in our hearts, the world would see the difference that he's made. And just to reach out, to just share a little bit of how great God is. You see, God's looking for fully committed people who are willing to reach out to the lost. And it's going to be different for every person. There are evangelists that just go out there and they just go great guns. You know, I throw gasoline on that fire and watch them burn, man. It's just a blast. I don't have that. But I do have a God that loves me that I sure do enjoy letting other folks know. And that's really cool. You see, God tells us in this story three times over, who you are isn't what's important. It's the connection to him and a willingness to be used. It's not the 99, it's the one that's lost. It's not the 10, it's the one that's lost. It's not the son, it's the one that's lost. And that's what's to be most important to us, to be fully committed to him and to reach out to those that are lost and be able to point the direction. I know a lot of times we think we have to answer all the questions, but you know what? I'm a pastor, and I don't have all the answers. I wish I did. That would really be cool. But I can only give what I have, and I give it freely so that they may see the difference, that they may see the God that I serve and love. Are we willing to be that for others? Are we willing to be fully committed that the lost might see Jesus? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would continue to be with and walk with us and guide and direct our path. And Lord, we want to be connected to you, and we understand that the knowledge is useless and the doing is useless without our relationship with you, that being. And so, Lord, help us to be with you, that you might influence who we are, that we would be fully committed to you and reaching out to a world that needs to see you in action, that needs to see the difference that you've made in people's hearts and lives, that they might in turn be able to acknowledge you. And Lord, I want to be up to my armpits in Christians for all eternity. I just think heaven should be crowded to the hilt. And Lord, I want to be used by you to enable that to happen. Help us as a congregation to take that and to grasp it and to really share with those that we meet the difference that you have made. Come and walk with us each and every day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I feel a party coming on.
Amen.
Would you please stand and join us in singing, "He Keeps Me Singing." If this song doesn't get us partying, I don't know what.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across my way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, he keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall ring my flight to worlds unknown, I shall ring with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us, to direct us, to give us hope in the midst of life's struggles, that we might truly be fully committed to him and share with those who are lost. Amen.